We're talking this weekend about making memories with your mom, making memories with your family. We hope that you take some time today, maybe stop by the photo booth and make some memories, capture some memories, because good memories are very important in life. Good memories are actually the fuel for your future. Think about that. Good memories are fuel for your future. In fact, you can tell if it's a bad memory because it's not empowering your future vision. That's a bad memory, and it needs to be dealt with, and we'll talk about that in this service. But good memories actually give emotional energy to the present. You want to do an experiment? Talk to me. This is a talk back church. Talk to me. Talk to me, people. You want to do an experiment? Okay, here we go. Watch. Just close your... Don't go to sleep. Please, please, please. Don't fall asleep. Just close your eyes and hold or find a joyous memory that you have. Maybe about your family. Maybe it was a vacation. Maybe it's a location you went to. Maybe it's a restaurant you went to. Maybe it's the moment that your bride walked down the aisle. Hold on to that memory. Now just see it and feel the emotion, and then let the emotion just become bigger and brighter and more beautiful. And don't you feel better? Yes or yes? Yeah, look up this way. Now, don't fall asleep. Check your neighbor out right now. Check them out. Just make sure their eyes are with us. We have very interesting, in the story of Jesus, snapshots of memories that the scriptures bring to us, that God thought was important for us to see. They are snapshots of memories with Jesus and his mom. One of the most moving snapshots of Jesus and his mother are in the final moments of his life. When Jesus is on the cross, he is suffering physical, emotional, spiritual pain. He is paying for my sins, and they are many. He's paying for your sins. He's taking care of all of our sin, all of our debt that we owed to God. And in the moment of that incredible suffering, he looks down, and what does he do? He takes care of his mother. He says, Mom, and very beautiful that Mary is there. Lots of Jesus' friends weren't there. Lots of the guys didn't show up for the crucifixion. We know John the disciple showed up, but by and large, it was a few women at the cross. Come on, women. Come on, it is Mother's Day. Strong women. And Mary was a strong woman. And he looks down and he says, Mary, I want to take care of you. I want John, who is the disciple, I want him to be the one. I want you to go back to his house. He's going to become like a son to you. And Mary, I want you to go into his house. And he cares for her. And in that moment, did he create a memory? In the midst of the suffering and that horrible situation, she knew that she was loved. She was cared for. Because Jesus did something that made a memory in a very tough time in his life. And I want to encourage all of us to, let me talk about, first of all, just being intentional in making memories. That you literally do what Jesus did. Maybe you're in a tough season right now. Maybe this is not an easy day. But notice what Jesus did. He took his soul, his mind's attention off of himself, right? And he put it on someone else. That's how you make memories. He took his attention off of himself, because that's what love does, and he reached out, and in a loving way, he did something for someone else, for his mother. He was intentional. Every day we're making moments, and one day, one of the moments that you're making will become a memory. And you don't always know when that's going to be. But you need to choose each day to be intentional in your loving and in your grace and in your openness to God. Because someday the moments that you're making will become a memory, and it'll be a big memory. And big memories don't happen by accident. In fact, when you thought about the good memories that you had a moment ago, it probably involved people that you loved. probably was with people around you, because very seldom we have great memories with strangers at McDonald's. It is possible at Chick-fil-A, but not at McDonald's. No, it's not. So there's people here in the room, there's family, there's spiritual family that we choose to make memories with. And here's a couple of pictures from Jesus. Remember when, remember this memory between Jesus and his mother? Let me ask this question. How many of you have ever not physically, a child has gone missing and you've lost them for moments, minutes, or has that happened? That's a memory. Isn't that a memory? Jesus and Mary have that memory. Jesus is 12 years old. The story's in Luke chapter 2. And this is so encourages me that Mary lost Jesus. It gives me hope, because I've experienced it and it's a memory. So Jesus is 12 years old. Mary and Joseph go to Jerusalem for a religious festival. They leave the city and they leave Jesus in Jerusalem, and they're 2 or 3 days down the road, and they go, oh, by the way, where's Jesus? They thought he was being cared for maybe by another relative, and they go, oh my goodness! And they go back to Jerusalem, and where do they find Jesus? Where do they find him? In the house of God. And what's he doing? He's talking about Scripture with the scholars, and the scholars are amazed. I want you to just pay attention to how we got to that memory. It was invested, intentional moments that Mary and Joseph invested in Jesus. They took Jesus to the house of God all the time. In fact, when Jesus was missing and when he noticed, hey, my parents aren't here in the big city of Jerusalem, where did he go? He went to the house of God, because he went to the house of God all the time. You want to raise your kids right? You want to have some great memories coming in the future? Raise your families in the house of God. And raise them around the Scriptures. What was Jesus doing when he was in the house of God? He was talking about the Scriptures. He didn't start learning the Scriptures when he was 12. He started as a child. Mary and Joseph immersed him in the Scriptures. And that makes good memories in a family. House of God memories. Scripture memories. Intentional memories. We don't have a lot of pictures of Jesus and Mary, but we do have another one. The first miracle of Jesus also involved Mary and Jesus, right? Does anyone know what the first miracle of Jesus was, what it was in the Scripture? The first miracle of Jesus was what? Turning the water into wine, right? And Jesus is at a wedding, and his mother is there. And the weddings in those days went days. They know how to party. No, not just a short little wedding reception. It was days of celebration, and they were celebrating so much that they ran out of wine. And watch this. I love this memory of Jesus, because Jesus isn't really going to do anything. Okay, they ran out of wine. But Mary so believes in Jesus that she knows he could do something about this. So she goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, they got no wine here. Jesus goes, look, why are you talking to me about this? No, Jesus. She so believed in Jesus. She knew something could happen. Now, get this. You want to be intentional in your memories? Believe in your kids. In fact, she inspires so much confidence that she goes to the servants after Jesus kind of goes, she goes to the servants and she says to the servants, whatever he says to do, do it. And she instills so much confidence in the servants that when they come to Jesus and say, what should we do? He says, I'll fill up those 6 pots of water. That's like 150 or 200 gallons of water in those pots. They were big pots. They did it. What inspired these servants to follow just one of the guests' instructions? Mary's confidence in her son. And I know you say, well, that was Jesus. That's why she was confident. No, she's setting a pattern for us as parents that want to create intentional memories in our kids. Believe the best for your kids. Inspire confidence in them no matter what anybody says. Some of you know my academic life, which was not great in elementary or high school. Every report card basically said the same thing. Scott is not working up to his full potential. So, and my parents, my mother, they never said, Scott, you're dumb. No, they said, here was the message. Scott, you are better than this. That's what our kids need to hear. You are better. Mary believed in Jesus, not just because he was Jesus, but because he was her boy, her child. And what our rising generation needs to create intentional moments is to have the voice of loving mothers and fathers and community and spiritual family that says, we believe in you. Finally, I kicked into gear. College, I 4.0, top of my class. Finally, I kicked into gear. There's hope for you and your kids. Now, I want you to see some stories from here in the fellowship, and then Holly's going to come, and she's going to do some teaching as well. But I want you to see some stories of people that are part of our fellowship here that were impacted by mothers, by grandmothers, and by the spiritual community here. Because if you're here and you feel like you're all alone and it's kind of a family day, let me just remind you, you are not alone. The people around you are your mothers. The people around you are your brothers. The people around you are your sisters. There should be some amens in the house. Look at these stories of family and love and impacting for intentional memories.
Hey, I'm Tommy. I grew up in a Christian home. I have two great parents that love Jesus and raised me to go to church and know him. My mom especially, from a young age, really just talked to me and just was always tugging on my heart with what she would say and what she would speak into my life. And I just have a deep respect for my parents and how they raised me. But my mom, one day she goes, hey, Tommy, you know, you should check out the new youth group, because we had just moved to Florida. And I was like, nah, Mom, I'm not really interested in that. But she said, well, hey, just go this one time. And if you don't like it, you never have to go again. I'll never bother you about it. I said, okay, Mom, I'll go for you. I love my mom. I want to do, you know, make her happy. And so I went, and I was like, well, you know, this isn't bad. I'll go again. And so I started going. And once again, never completely ran away from God, but, you know, was just kind of like, what else is there? And so I kept going to the youth group, and one day I was listening to the youth pastor preach, and really the conviction of the Holy Spirit when I was in high school just really stirred in my heart. I just realized just how much of a sinner I was, and I really understood for the first time in my life what Jesus had done on the cross for me. And that day is when I gave my heart to Jesus. You know, some of you may be here today because a mom or somebody else invited you. Like when my mom asked me to go check out the youth group, check out the church, the community altogether really just came around me, and people mentored me, people encouraged me, they supported me. And I wouldn't be the Christian or the person I am today if it wasn't for those people that were willing to sacrifice their time and their convenience to take this little boy in high school and show him who Jesus is. Thank you.
Hey guys, I'm Brittany, and I just wanted to share a little bit of my story with you. I grew up in church. My grandma picked me up every weekend, and she would take me to church, teach me all the Bible songs, bring me to every event that happened at church. And so at about high school level, I stopped going to church, stopped attending, and just started kind of pursuing the world and the desires that I felt were things that would fulfill me. And I remember I would show up to her house all the time, and she would always tell me that there was purpose for me, that there was something that I was made to do, something I was made to just take over. Like God had a plan for me, God had purpose for me. And she would pray over me. And I remember there were a couple of times I would walk into her house and I would be, on drugs. I would be high or I would be drunk. And she would still sit me down and claim the same thing over me. She would tell me that there was a purpose for me, that God had something for someone. Sitting there in my mess and realizing that somebody in the flesh still thought that I was worth it. And so anyway, so she prayed for me for years, and I would attend church with her sometimes, even though I was using and abusing substances, and I would go with her, and she would still stand right beside me and tell me that this message was for me. I ended up getting sober about 9 years ago, and my grandma was there to see me get sober, and started attending church with her and sitting in the same speech that she had given me when I was in her home when I was high. She would say that I was worth it, and so I'd sit next to her in church, now sober, and she would tell me that I was worth it, that there was a purpose for me. And about 5 years ago, my grandma passed away, and I realized that my relationship with God was based a lot on my relationship with her. And in that moment, I had a decision to make if I would pursue that, if I would pursue understanding who God really was and that purpose that he had for me, or if I would go back to who I was before that. I chose to fight, and I chose to pursue God and all that he had for me. And I sit here today, I am walking with God and loving God and pursuing my purpose. I am my grandmother's legacy.
I remember coming here, you know, smelling like smoke, and then having my issues, having my struggles, being in a really immoral relationship, and just the leaders and the pastors that would pour into me and invest into me, speak life over me, pray over me, you know, would come up and be the same thing every week. Well, I'm really struggling with this, and I'm still stuck in this, but they still loved me like Jesus loved me and showed me an unconditional sacrificial love and really, really poured into me. And now it's so incredible to be a part of pouring into other students who now are going through different things that I went through, things that I have experienced, and know what it feels like to go through. And it's just an awesome opportunity to invest what God has invested into me, to pour out what God has poured into me.
Hey, I'm Mel, and this is just a little bit of my story. I decided to come to Hope after a persistent invitation of a friend. He kept inviting me over and over and over again, and I decided that I would give it a shot. And in my first service here at Hope, I knew that this was exactly what I had been praying for. That was a really huge moment for me to come to a church that I'd never been to after going to the same church my entire life. And that was a huge moment for me, to leave everything that I had known and all the people, all the relationships that I had, and choose something that was totally out of the normal. So I went there, and I was like, yeah, eventually. And I was really nervous and really scared to come, and I sat in the back row. And as soon as I left, I knew that this was everything that I had been praying for. This was the church, this was community that I had been waiting for so long. And that was such a huge defining moment to me. And just welcoming me in with open arms, I knew that this was where I belonged and this was where I was meant to be. And even though that I had lost everyone that I thought I needed, God placed everyone in my life that he knew that I needed.
These are all stories of legacy that were made possible by pivotal moments that changed the course of a life. An accepted invitation, a decision to become sober, a surrendering of someone's life to Christ, and it didn't happen in isolation. These pivotal moments happened because of real relationships that propelled these stories forward. And the scriptures that we are drawing from today are from Jesus on the cross. And there was a pivotal moment that unlocked the potential for a legacy change as Jesus paid for the price of our sins on the cross. There was a moment that allowed us to have a different story. Mother's Day ultimately is a celebration of relationship. The celebration between your relationship with you and your children, or you and your mother. And Jesus on the cross was a celebration of relationship. It was an audacious invitation for us to live in relationship to a holy and perfect God. And it happened in a moment. Moments are the building blocks of relationships. And they shape who we are. The people we're in relationship, they change who we are. And we become a part of their legacy. We become a part of that story, or they become a part of ours. I have an incredible mom, and we celebrate her today. And I remember moments that my mom intentionally invested in my life that shaped who I am. It's a part of Darla's legacy. And in making memories, we want to be intentional to leave a legacy. What's the story that's being written from your life and your influence? I remember as a small child being tucked into bed every night by my mom and my dad, them praying over me, my mom sitting on the bed and telling me DJ stories, Darla Joy. She had a round face and a little button nose and freckles all across her face is how every story would begin, and she'd tell me stories of her childhood. It was a moment where my mom would invest in me. Or I remember every morning before school, before we could walk to the bus stop, we gathered in the foyer, all four kids, mom, dad, and dog, and we would pray over the day that was to come. And some days that was easier than others, because when you have four children and they are children, they can sometimes get rowdy. There was one day where while we were all dressed and ready to go to school, there was some rowdiness, and I ended up going into the pool through our pool cover and soaking myself from head to toe. A little more difficult to pray on that morning, but my mom was teaching me that we put Jesus first at the beginning of our day. That's part of my legacy that she has left. I remember my mom fighting for the potential of my life. I remember her fighting with the school, telling them that I could do more than they thought that I could. I had some learning disabilities, and I was struggling a lot in school. And she pushed and pushed and pushed and didn't allow those negative things to define who I was. But she pushed me forward. I'm a part of Darla's legacy. And as Jesus hung on the cross, he spoke to his mother. He spoke to the disciple John. And in this moment of incredible anguish and pain, he was concerned with the legacy he was leaving. He says to John, "This will be your mother," and to John, "This will be your son." And he's taking care of his mother from the cross. And sometimes it's easy to see the legacy that we leave that's within our own home, our family, the people that are naturally close to us, our bloodline, our family tree. Those are easy, maybe easy investments to make. But Jesus, as he is paying for the sins of the world on the cross, and if you've studied the crucifixion, you need to understand how difficult it would have been for Jesus to speak. The amount of energy he would have exerted to utter anything on the cross would have been excruciating. But he takes a moment to take care of his mother. But you might go, okay, that's an obvious investment. That's an obvious legacy. Because our legacy is made up of the people that we choose to invest our lives in. Those intentional moments that Pastor was talking about, who gets those from you? Your kids, your family, those are important. But Jesus doesn't limit his attention on the cross to his mother, whom he loved and who loved him. He extends his invitation and his investment to a thief that was to his side. A theft, which would have been a sin, that literally would have been the reason that Jesus had gone to the cross. The reason he was in so much pain and so much anguish in that moment was because he had to pay a debt for a sin he did not commit, because we could not pay that debt on our own. And he turns his attention in all of his pain and all of his anguish to invest in someone else to change that legacy. It's in Luke chapter 23, verse 42. It says, "And then he said to Jesus," this is the thief on the cross speaking to him, he says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." He invested in him, the unlikely. The pastor kind of mentioned it, that Mother's Day can be a painful day for some people. Maybe you're here and you would desperately like to be a mother, or you didn't have a healthy relationship with your mother, or you've lost your mother. There's a pain that's there. And you might be looking at this point to leave a legacy and say, who is there for me to invest in? What's my legacy going to be? Because my life doesn't look like what maybe I thought it should or what I want it to. Maybe you're waiting for that perfect person to come into your life to even start your family. And it can be a painful reminder of the things you don't have. But leaving a legacy isn't just about investing into the mother that's easy to invest in. It's about looking to the people to the right and to the left and looking to make a legacy in an unlikely place. I've been married for 3 years. Do you know what happens when you've been married for 3 years? Do you? Everyone asks you, when are you gonna have a baby? I had someone pat my stomach 2 weeks ago. If you do that, I'll break your hand, okay? And the truth is, I would love to be a mother. It hasn't happened for me yet. I would love for it to have children of my own, but it hasn't happened. That's not the way my story is being written at the moment. But my opportunity to invest, to leave a legacy, doesn't start with a little plus sign on a pregnancy test. It starts by investing into the unlikely people that are around me. Choosing to invest my life into people who need me. And I might not have any children of my own, but I have countless inner city babies that I love with all my heart. I had junior high students for years. I've never been to a softball game for one of my children, but I've been to Maddie Lipker's. I've gone to school lunches and brought kids donuts. Because leaving a legacy is choosing to invest in people that maybe aren't your blood, but this is a family. And there is potential for you to leave a legacy that maybe you're not even tapped into. Do you know what one of the top four things that my generation is looking for? The millennials, they're looking for mentorship. They're looking for someone to try to invest in them to be a part of their legacy. There are young adults that we work with all the time, and they don't have any don't have any parents that are living for Jesus, and they would need a spiritual mama or a dad. And you never know what the investment, what the dividends of that investment, what that legacy is going to look like. I got this letter a couple years ago from one of the girls that I had spent a lot of my life investing in. She was a missionary in Ireland, so it was no small task to send a letter. I just want to read a small portion of it to you. It says, "The reason I had the urge to write you is because one of the students messaged me back in November, telling me that God had definitely called her into missions, and that he was calling her to somewhere in Africa. And in that moment, as I sat halfway around the world from my precious little bean and hearing about what God was doing in her life, I began to feel so honored that she loved me and trusted me and looked up to me, even when I was not there to invest in her physically. I know that somewhere along the line, we formed a bond that distance couldn't break. It filled my heart with unspeakable joy. And in that moment, I realized I am only able to invest in her because you first invested in me. I'm the leader I am because you never gave up on me. At a young age, you saw something in me and sacrificially poured your time, money, and effort into seeing me reach the potential you knew there was in me that I couldn't see in myself. I clearly remember how you would make me do specific devotions and check them every Sunday morning before church. I remember how furious I would get with you at times." What a letter of encouragement. "I remember how you weren't afraid to call me out on my nonsense. I remember so many encouraging words you've spoken over me through the years. I remember the tears I've cried in your comforting presence, and I remember the countless hugs. But most of all, I remember that you chose to invest in me." Now, this young lady, she has a godly mom who brought her to church and poured into her. But it takes a village. It takes everyone looking to say, who can I invest in? What's my legacy going to look like? To see those decisions be made. Leaving a legacy is choosing to invest in maybe the unlikely person. Maybe someone that's even caused you pain. But God's going to do something with that legacy that you could not possibly imagine. And the third thing, in making memories, don't get stuck in the past. Pastor talked about those beautiful, happy memories that we have. But we all know that not all memories are good. There's memories that bring up anxiety and fear and worry. Negative memories that you feel have shaped you into the person that you are that maybe you can't break out of because of an abuse or because of words that were spoken over you. And these are the things that we want to break out of. We don't want to get stuck in. We want to move past those things. One of the most challenging scriptures, every time I read it, is Jesus on the cross. And if you can imagine him, every word is excruciating as he has to pull up on the nails in his hands and his feet just to hoist himself up to get enough breath in his lungs to speak. And one of the phrases that he utters from the cross as he's looking at a jeering crowd that has pushed a crown of thorns into his head, that has mocked him as the king of the Jews, he looks out and he says, "Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing." It's in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." What a standard of forgiveness. And the thing that helps us get past our past and not get stuck in it is this kind of forgiveness. Unforgiveness is like a locked door. It's a wall we put up relationally when we choose not to forgive. And Jesus sets a precedent that's unreal. He didn't offer forgiveness when there was repentance, when the crowd realized, "Oh, no, no, we shouldn't be doing this." He looked at them and said, "They don't know what they're doing. They don't know the pain they're causing me. They don't know the weight of their sin. They don't know what they're doing. So before they even ask for forgiveness, I'm going to extend it to them." And if you want to not get stuck in the past, you have to extend forgiveness before it's asked for. Before there's a recognition that someone's done something that hurts you. If you want there to be potential healing in relationships, forgiveness is like unlocking and opening the door. It's not going to fix everything, but it's going to unleash a potential for a better future than the past. But when you get stuck in your past and you wall off and you lock the door and you choose to live in unforgiveness, you're cutting yourself off from the potential future that forgiveness brings. Could you imagine if Jesus did that on the cross? Or he refused to go to the cross? He went to Gethsemane and said, "Nope, my will, not yours, Father. I don't want to do this." Jesus' extension of forgiveness and grace to us unlocked a future we did not deserve. And that's what we're called to do in extending forgiveness to other people, even when they don't deserve it. There is a mom that came up to me last night after the service, and she said, "That really touched me. So I have a son who was walking with the Lord for many years, and he's turned his heart away from God." And she said, "I've been so unforgiving towards him, and it was tonight that I realized that my unforgiveness was not showing him who Jesus truly was." And the thing that's amazing to me, Proverbs 21, verse 2, it says, "A person thinks everything he does is right, but the Lord weighs the heart." Meaning when people do things that hurt us, they're innocent in their own eyes, oftentimes. They can't see the pain they're causing. I read an interesting fact in a book recently, and it said when other people's fail and we look at their failure, we attribute it to them some sort of character flaw that caused them to fail. They're dishonest, they're not a good person, they're this, they're that. It's a character flaw in them. But when we fail, we see the circumstances that surround it, and we consider our failure circumstantial. Because we know what's going on in our life. We know the stress that caused us to snap in anger. We know the negative things people have spoken over us. We can justify our wrongdoings or our shortcomings or our failures. And Jesus offers a forgiveness that flips the script and says they don't know what they're doing. They're innocent in their own eyes. And even before people come to repentance, he offered forgiveness. And forgiveness can open doors. Pastor is my dad. And there was a moment when I was a little girl. When I lived in Canada, I used to steal loonies from him, which are Canadian dollars. I would steal them from his dresser, and I would buy soda. I wasn't allowed to steal, and I wasn't allowed to drink soda. Double whammy. I did it for years. We had moved to Florida, I guess not really years, 1 year. But we moved to Florida, and it was years later. We were getting ready for church on a Saturday night, and I just felt the overwhelming conviction of the Holy Spirit that that was wrong. I hadn't done it in years, but I had this moment where I thought, I need to confess this. And I got together all of the money that I had, which was maybe $8, and I called my dad into my bedroom. And he sat on my sister's twin bed, and I sat across from him. And it was like the prodigal son coming home. I was like, I have sinned against heaven and against you. But I told him what I had done, and I gave him the money, and I apologized to him. And in that moment, he could have told me how wrong stealing was. He could have told me how wrong lying is. He could have told me that it was bad to be deceptive or to do things I knew I shouldn't have done. He could have punished me for the things that I had done wrong. But instead, in a moment of Christ-like grace, he said, I forgive you. And he could sense what the Holy Spirit was doing in my little 8-year-old heart. And he said, Holly, let's pray. I forgive you. Now let's ask God to forgive you. And it was in that moment, sitting on a little twin bed with my little heart comforters, that I prayed such an authentic and genuine prayer of repentance. And in that moment in my little childhood bedroom, I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the first time at 8 years old. Because instead of my dad getting angry and punishing me with what I truly deserved, he offered grace to me that unlocked a future that was more than I deserved. And that's what Jesus did on the cross, as he offered forgiveness to you and to me. And he did it because he was looking towards the potential future. Pastor is going to come and he's going to speak on that for just a few more moments. And as we look to the future and that forgiveness is offered, I would challenge you to accept it afresh and anew today.
Thank you. Yeah, come on, thank you. That was awesome. Awesome. Let me invite you to stand, if you would, please. I think what we should do right now in this moment is close our eyes and open our hearts. God so loves you that he wants to create an incredible life for you. A life you cannot create yourself. And he wants to have memories that you cannot accomplish by yourself. But he wants to step into your moments and create memories. And if you have any memories that are chains that are holding you back, in this moment he wants to break those chains through the power of forgiveness and the power of grace, and he wants to set you free so you can move forward in your personal life, in your family life, in the community life, in your faith life, because he sees so much more in you than you see in yourself. It's no accident that God is revealed in scriptures as a parent, the heart that loves his children. And I'd like to invite every single person here to receive the grace of God. Maybe you've been living far away from God. It doesn't matter. He looks down from the cross and says, Father, forgive them, so that they can move into the future. The reason he spoke to Mary from the cross was because he saw Mary going forward in her life. He saw her future. He saw that she would be in the upper room. He saw that she would be filled with the power and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus sees a future for you that you don't even see for yourself, and he wants to speak into that future, and he wants to pull you into that future, and he wants to empower you for that future. And here's how we receive it, by praying a simple prayer of faith. I'm going to pray out loud. I'm going to ask everyone here, if you pray this from your heart, you'll begin a new relationship or restore a relationship with God. And simply open your mouth right now and say, Dear Lord Jesus, go ahead. Dear Lord Jesus, I open my heart to your presence and your power. I repent of my sins. And I receive your grace, your love, your forgiveness. I receive you as my Savior and as my Lord. Now help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. Thank you, God, for loving me. Oh, say that one more time. Thank you, God, for loving me. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. That's a good prayer, guys. That's a good prayer. So I'm going to invite our prayer team if they would come immediately. And what we're going to do in the next moment is allow you to be receive prayer. Whatever the Holy Spirit is saying to you, before you go, if you'd like to receive prayer, come forward and receive prayer. Or if you'd like to receive communion, Holy Communion on this Mother's Day weekend, you don't have to be a member of this church to receive communion. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive prayer. Just be open to what God has for you. Because I believe that God has miracles in this house, and he's got your name on them, and he just wants you to step forward and receive his grace. So I'm going to pray one more blessing. After this blessing, there's not another benediction. You are free to come and pray. You're free to worship with the worship community. You're free to receive community on the left or right-hand side. You're free to go with the grace of God. If you've been here as a guest, we'd love you. You're our VIP today, and we'd love you to stop by a special room we have for you called the VIP room. It's over on the left-hand side. We'd like to give you some gifts, get to know you. But I believe that God wants you to go from this place and make incredible memories by having incredible God-filled moments. Open your heart to the grace and power of God that comes in the person of Jesus. And now, Lord, I pray you will bless your sons and your daughters. You will allow the Holy Spirit to do miracles in this room. I thank you for our prayer team. I pray for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, healings, miracles, knowledge, wisdom. I pray, God, that the power of God will be present as we pray for people in the name of Jesus. I bless the communion, the bread that reminds us of Jesus' broken body, the cup that reminds us of the new covenant that we don't earn or deserve, but we certainly celebrate that you love us like we are, and you love us enough not to leave us like we are. I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will cause his face to shine upon you. I bless you in the strong, mighty name of the resurrected Christ, whose power is in this place right here, right now. And all of God's children say together, amen. Let's give the Lord just an ovation of praise. We thank you, Lord. We love you guys. Happy Mother's Day. Come forward for prayer. Come forward for communion. We just know God has something great for you today. God bless you.